Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Now, listen, they want me to say hello, welcome to the James Whale Best Bits of Tonight's show, which you can hear every night, Monday to Friday, on Talk Radio from 7 till 10. But I said, wouldn't it be best to call it the worst of Whale? So have a listen, see what you think.
I'm going to talk about the Chancellor's summer statement now.
Yeah, he's been giving a lot of money, or giving us all a few quid.
Yeah, you've annoyed me. I just want to know when I'm getting my money, that's all. When are we getting our 500?
We're getting some food stuff vouchers as well.
So we
Yeah, £10 or something that we can buy meals.
Because a friend of mine who's over 60 is getting food parcels every week.
You're talking about yourself, aren't you?
No. I've seen what he's getting. No.
What does he get?
He gets loads of bags of rice and potatoes and stuff.
Carb.
Anthony Brown, Conservative MP for South Cambridgeshire and a member of the Treasury Select Committee. He's probably responsible. He's the one responsible for all this.
Yeah.
We're not particularly, you know, broadcasters aren't particularly getting anything, are they?
No, we'll get the 500 quid like everyone else, yeah.
Really? Oh, well, let's ask him. Anthony, good evening. Welcome to the show.
Good evening.
Excuse me if I'm just a bit down. I'm a bit worried about Lulu.
Not the singer, his dog.
I feel your pain. I know. Yeah. Hearing the conversation, I'm worried about your dog.
Well, I'm worried about this.
I don't like the analysis of just saying you should put it down because it's not worth 200 quid.
No, I know. Well, I'm glad. Anthony. Although I got a real rude remark, tweet or load yesterday saying, you should be more worried about children than your animals. Well, my children are old enough.
I know exactly what my children would say if I said I should put down the cat because I can't be bothered to pay for.
You don't tell your kids, you just get by another one that looks the same.
What?
That's how you do it, isn't it?
Anthony, we're not supposed to laugh at that.
I would never stoop so low.
My
kids would notice as well.
If this appears detrimentally to either of us tomorrow, Anthony, anywhere, it's your fault. Well, I think Rishi did a really good job. I think he's. I'm just concerned about how we're going to pay for it.
Well, that is a good question. I mean, the national debt has shot up massively. It's now over 100% of GDP, and it wasn't so long ago when we thought having a national debt of 40% of GDP was bad, and it's now more than twice as big. But it's not as big as it was during the Second World War, where it went up to 250% of GDP. But that did take us decades, many decades, to pay that off. And I think what economists say about this, it's what we call a war debt, that it's a one-off thing that we had no control over, basically, and we don't have to pay it off over the next couple of years or few years. We can take our time paying it off.
Yeah.
But it will have to be paid off at some point. But we're lucky that interest rates are extraordinarily low at the moment.
Looks as if they're going to stay fairly low too.
It does. So you look at all the economic forecasts and nobody can see a significant increase in interest rates for the next sort of 5 years or so.
So we're giving this money away, kick-starting the economy, which I hope it will do. And I can't believe the disgusting response from the opposition. Still, they find things to moan about. Still, they find things that are not good enough.
That's their job, though, isn't it?
Well, I know it's their job, but you would have thought a crisis like this, they'd try and pull together, wouldn't you?
Well, they did at the beginning of the crisis. They did well at pulling together. Happened at the very beginning when lockdown happened. But yeah, you're right. Now it's sort of business as usual in terms of politics. Politics as usual. I mean, generally the criticism. I was in the chamber when the Chancellor made the announcement today. Generally, the response was, "You should do more." And actually, in political terms, that's the ultimate compliment. You know, they don't say you shouldn't be doing this. They say you should just be doing more of it. But there is that question then that you ask, you know, how do you end up paying all this off? And, you know, there will be, the Chancellor announced today that there will be a spending review in the autumn where we look at all government spending in the years ahead. And certainly what we have to do in the next year is just work out how we get the national finances on a stable basis again and work out how we repay this debt.
I mean, also, I think this encouragement to take youngsters on in some form of work experience is brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. And we know these schemes work. There's actually a lot of, sort of history of these sorts of schemes around the world. And if you target it well, at young people who are unemployed, not yet sort of long-term unemployed, it's actually a very, very effective way. And giving wage subsidies where you basically pay employers to take an unemployed person on works really, really well. So I'm really pleased the Chancellor did this, particularly focusing at young people. It's this scheme, this Kickstarter scheme, is focused on the 16 to 24-year-olds. Wow. Because they're the ones who have been most impacted by this whole recession. They're in the jobs where they're more likely to have been lost the jobs or furloughed, so in hospitality, for example.
And the boost in apprenticeships with the £2,000 for firms who create them and £1,000 in extra cash is brilliant. You know, brilliant. Yeah. No, I am. I have to be honest. I'm concerned with a lot. Oh, sorry. With the dog's climbing onto my foot. I'm concerned.
I didn't realize sorry, the Lulu with you.
Lulu's there and Daisy May is there, right?
Do they do broadcasting as well?
Or? They do. They're not meant to, but they do.
They do quite a lot of broadcasting. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
The James Whale Show. Come praise the whale on Talk Radio.
Rishi Sunak has been, of course, talking about all the things he's going to do for the economy. I think it's quite a good speech and lots of good ideas. It's amazing. By the way, can I just say before we go any further, we were going to have Alistair Carmichael, the Lib Dem MP, on, and for some reason we can't get through to him. We called a number of Labour Party MPs, and they were far too busy doing other things. Yeah. We couldn't get hold of anybody from Lib Dems either, but then there aren't very many of those to try. So just in case anybody wants to say, you always have Tories on, we tried the others. You know, the producer's been pulling his hair out, thinking, because he wants to make everything balanced. And I said, well, I don't know why you have to when the BBC does everything left-wing.
Good point.
And a few other radio
stations
I could really mention, couldn't I? Eh? Like the Labour Broadcasting Company, but... you know, so we've tried and we can't force them to come on. But if there's a Labour MP who's not scared to come on, please give us a call. Come on. The Chancellor has announced a £2 billion kickstart scheme to create more jobs for young people as part of his summer statement today. We're going to talk to our old friend Charlie Mullins, OBE, and the CEO of Pimlico Plumbers, who has quite a lot of people who are actually there training at the moment. Charlie, good evening. Welcome.
Yeah, good evening, James.
How are you?
Sorry. Go on.
Charlie. No, I was just going to say, how is this going to affect your business, or isn't it?
I don't think it's going to affect their business, but I think it's going to really help the youngsters to get into work and certainly more apprenticeships that are badly needed. I don't personally think it's enough to affect our business. We have 70 apprentices, and the scheme they're bringing in is just to get a youngster into work and pay, I think it's 25 hours a week of their apprenticeship money or their training money. And it's only for 6 months. So, you know, you can't really take on an apprentice on the basis that, you know, you've had 6 months of free wages for him, only 25 hours a day. I mean, if they was to extend it for the full 3 years, then it would be the biggest boost ever for apprenticeships and skill shortages.
So it's just a bit of bluster then?
Well, you know, it's going to help some youngsters get into work. Let's not kid anyone, but I don't feel it necessarily going to be overvaluable for the apprenticeship scheme. But
yeah, they might get fired after 6 months, mightn't they, if they don't?
Yeah, but hang on, Ash, you're talking... The thing is, Charlie, you said you've got, what, 70 apprentices?
70, yeah.
I mean, it's an amazing number. And you know, those are people that you will hopefully find work for, or someone else will, when they've done their apprenticeships.
Undoubtedly, I mean, you know, you do an apprenticeship, you'll have a job for life. You know, the massive skill shortage that's out there. Look, it's going to be a massive boost, and I think most things that he's come out with today are going to help the economy. They're going to help a lot of people, businesses, to get things up and running. But, you know, I don't think it's like a be-all and end-all that what he's come out today is going to change the economy massively.
No. Because a lot of those companies who have been sort of putting off the inevitability of maybe closing down may not be savable. I mean, you've been carrying on all through this, haven't you? As I suppose plumbers are essential workers.
Yeah, that's right. We've managed to keep going, but, you know, we still had quite a few went on to the furlough system. We've now got most of them back, and I think there's about 40 people are still on it.
But yeah, they got a bit of a taste for it, didn't they, Charlie? I remember you were saying they got a bit of a taste for not going back to work.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, they're the ones that was on the Bournemouth beach, some of them. But, you know, what's strange is 1 minute the government are paying people to stay at home, now they want to pay companies to get them back. It don't quite add up, does it?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Well, I think there's so many companies are really not able to employ anybody, not able to do anything, that he's desperate to get them in a position where they can carry on. But
they should be doing these apprenticeships anyway, like Charlie's been doing proper apprenticeships, like they used to
agree.
In the old days.
I agree.
I spoke to the government about 10 years when Cameron was there, when May was there, Johnson, and telling them to turn university credit or their dull money into paying for an apprenticeship rather than them sitting at home. And all of a sudden, 10 years down the line, it takes this virus sort of situation that we're in for them to sort of realise that, you know, the damage that's being done by youngsters not being into work. So, look, they're going towards the right direction, but I actually believe maybe that if they do it for 6 months and they do extend it for the full 3 years, then I think apprenticeship problem is over. Youth unemployment will cut down massively, and skill shortage will be resolved.
And how many hours a week did I do?
Ash, just a minute. Have you got any vacancies at the moment?
James is looking.
Shut up, Ash, a minute. Just built up, Ash. I mean, I'm sorry, Charlie. He's just being a pain. The last couple of days, I think he's doing something he shouldn't be. Sorry.
It's hard to get an apprenticeship at the moment. So, no, we don't have vacancies for apprenticeships at the moment because it's quite an expense to have them on. You know, they cost you about £15,000 a year. But, you know, of course we want to take on more, but I think the government are going to have to come out with a scheme where they fully pay for an apprentice all through his training period. And then I think that's going to be the way forward. But not just for 6 months. But, you know, let's not deny it. We'll get a lot of youngsters an opportunity into the workplace, and maybe a lot of people can keep them on from there.
Yeah, if they could.
I mean, you said 70 on apprenticeship jobs. I mean, you don't just do plumbing, you do roofing and you do building and everything else. And these are the sort of very unsexy careers. People now want to be in the media, a hairdresser or designer or something like that, don't they?
I'm probably going to disagree with you, James, because, you know, it's very trendy now to be a plumber. It's very trendy to have a trade. very trendy to have an apprenticeship. So, you know,
you've made plumbing trendy, Charlie. That is to be agreed. Yeah.
Well, I like to think we've contributed to change the image of the plumbing out there. But more and more youngsters are coming into it, but it's just not, the opportunities are not there. And, you know, I honestly believe that if they could really work on the apprenticeship scheme by paying their wages completely instead of giving them dull money and, you know, where they call it
universal credit.
I think it would be a massive change out there.
The James Whale Show. Come praise the whale on Talk Radio.
Now, Chris Hobbs, former Metropolitan Police officer. Chris, that was a bit waffly from the commissioner, really, wasn't it?
It hasn't gone down well, I have to say. I've never seen such a Twitter storm amongst the police community as I'm seeing at this moment in time. They're obviously angry about what happened in the first place.
Why did it happen in the first place? Do we know? I mean, they looked very young, the coppers who were involved.
Not that young. They weren't that young.
But no sensible person behaves in that way to a couple with a very small baby in the back of the car, unless they are slightly moronic.
Well, you say that. I mean, we don't really know what happened, do we? What we wanted on the day and the day after, and what a number of people asked for, and what we hoped Bianca and Ricardo would agree with, was that all footage be released. In other words, the Met release their dash cam footage, which would tell us about the original driving, which allegedly drew attention to them.
Well, why haven't they?
I've no idea. I really don't know. Some people have said, well, they're not allowed to. But I'm sure if the Met turned round, if Cressida Dick had turned round to Bianca and Ricardo and said, look, we're going to release our footage. Have you got any objection to that? Surely Bianca and Ricardo would say,
maybe,
no, we haven't.
Because there's an investigation with the, you know, independent police.
Yeah, but it wasn't at that time. It wasn't initially. They forced themselves into it initially by saying they were going to take a look. And then Cressida Dick basically referred the Met to them for the absolute fury.
But the police reaction, it looks like they haven't come to a stop, or something hasn't happened immediately, so that's when the police act like that.
Yeah, I mean, if you actually look, I mean, I've just done it, actually, and you can possibly do it there. If you look at stuff
What, refuse to stop for the police? That's very naughty of you, Chris.
Let me finish. but if you look on, you know, if you Google officer and run over, what you'll see in the last couple of years are the number of officers where you've had a stop like that, who've been literally run over, who've been attacked by the driver in the vehicle. So that's why you had nervous TSG officers. Was it racially profiling, or were the windows tinted? We don't know about the windows. Could the officers actually see?
Even if they could, doesn't mean it's racially motivated. It doesn't mean that.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. But what you've got is a massive, massive dip in morale. I've never quite seen anything like it, other than perhaps where you get a dead police officer. But you've got Cressida Dick really, you know, the phrase has been used time and time again, thrown the officers under a bus.
Well, I don't, you know, there's not been any talk about sacking them or anything.
No,
but you don't need to, James. You really don't need to. They'll, no matter what the IOPC come back with, and this will be months in the future, probably, won't it? It will be, and if they come back with the officers have got no case to answer, they'll still probably say something like, yes, but there's some learning needs to be done out of that. There'll be criticism somewhere. But then it will get, how much publicity will it get? It might get on page 10 of the Daily Mail, two lines.
But they already said it was, they were entitled, the police were right to stop them. There was no problem there. They said that straight away.
Well, that was the Met's own... internal Department of Professional Standards, which is unusual because they're not very popular with frontline officers either. And to get a quick response like that, everybody thought, blimey, the Met is sort of fighting its corner. And then gradually, over the days, we've sort of retreated and retreated and retreated, and now you've got Cressida Dick apologising, and it comes across as apologising for the stop and search. In fact, what she's saying, apparently, is she's apologising for the distress. Now, I was breathalysed about 10 years ago by Essex Police, and I've just sent them a tweet earlier saying, look, I was distressed. Are you going to apologise to me? I hope they've had a good laugh over it. But any stop and search is a bit distressing. I was stopped.
Especially I'm not saying in this case, I don't know whether the... But a lot of times they'll say, oh, I smell cannabis, right, I want to search. And they haven't actually smelled cannabis.
Well, I think the problem the police...
You sound like you know what you're talking about there, Ash.
Well, I mean, this one yesterday, they were two athletes. They didn't know about cannabis. They'd never had a cannabis. They certainly couldn't. And they said they could smell cannabis. You know, they said they could smell it. And the one a couple of days before with the Channel 4 guy got done, they said, and he'd never been anywhere near it. So I think they used that as an excuse.
I think one of the issues that police have got, you know, we talk about handcuffing. We also talk about the officer's fear. Because, again, if you actually look at the number of knives floating about, if you look, say, at Reading, where one knifeman killed three able-bodied men in a park, and you can see why, really, police officers will say, really, if I'm going to stop and search anyone, I want everyone, practically everyone, handcuffed.
But you can see how there's subconscious racism in that way. You see that in America, you know, when people, maybe not from, but you get police who have never had... come from small towns where there's no black community, and they, you know, so they might go up to people in a more subconsciously racist way, you know, thinking, oh, there might be a knife involved here. Do you know what I mean? Whereas coppers before were a bit more savvy and a bit more streetwise, in the old days.
I mean, let's the risk of upsetting loads of people, I don't mean to, but there has been an enormous amount of coverage of black gangs, stabbings and various other things, hasn't there, in the media over the last couple of years.
Well, that's because it's reality, isn't it?
But I imagine that a lot of policemen might be quite frightened. I'm not giving that as an excuse. I think the way these guys behaved, whether they were celebrities or not, it doesn't matter. Obviously, if they'd been celebrities, I don't think they would have behaved like this. But because, you know, you'd be frightened. But I think there's a lot of overzealousness at the moment. And it may be for exactly the reason you say, Chris, because there's been an enormous amount of news coverage of black gangs and knives carried and all sorts of other things going on.
And that area is quite bad. That area is quite bad as well.
Yeah, that's right. I think the thing is, if you look at, and I have, you know, I was looking at them before I was talking to you. If you look at montages of those that are victims of stabbings and shootings who've died in brutal circumstances, disproportionately, they are black. And this is the mayor's office's own research tells us this. And similarly with assailants. Now, there obviously are issues, like in America, in terms of social deprivation, in terms of housing, in terms of education, all these things that put some of these lads at a disadvantage. But it's the police who have to apply the sticking plaster. It's the police. When you think about it, how many lives have been saved by the number of knives and machetes and guns police have taken off the streets? How many lives have been saved by police getting to stabbings and shootings before paramedics, as is often the case? Paramedics can't go to these sort of calls by themselves anyway, and who save lives by administering life-saving first aid. Do they ever get any credit for that? Never.
The James Whale Show. Come praise the whale on Talk Radio.
To be honest, I'm concerned with the dogs climbing onto my foot.
Do they do broadcasting as well?
They're not meant to, but they do.
And all the big breweries, get them into 10 Downing Street, sit them at the table and say, right.
After you said right, what are you going to do then? You
know, leather gloves around the face or something? Yeah, I don't know. He seemed a nice bloke.
Seemed a nice bloke, doesn't he? Yeah.
Well, he is a nice bloke.
Well, we don't know that. He just seemed it.
Before you go, you've been very good with your time as a member of Parliament. They usually rush off the first chance, don't they, Ash?
Yeah.
But we tend not to let
them. A lot of the bars are shut, though.
Why should they fork out... Hang on.
Gesundheit.
They call it 50% off of a meal.
Yeah. When are we going out, Charlie?
We've got 20 quid to spend, James, because it's only up to 10 quid. I don't think that's going to feed you much.
Have you got any vacancies at the moment?
James is looking.
What is this one? Talk Radio is on. Apparently. You work. I tell you what I'm good at. I'm good at home furnishings. What's wrong with doing the... I like a scatter cushion and I love scented candles. What's wrong with that? That was the clips for today. The worst of Whale. The best of James Whale. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed them. Well, I suppose if you didn't enjoy them, you won't be listening, will you? Anyway, I'll be back 7 o'clock until 10, Monday to Friday on Talk Radio. Have a great day. Thank you for listening.